As you are no doubt aware, the war with Iran is now underway. This has, of course, a great risk of leading to World War III, I suppose you could say. More importantly, escalating into a thermonuclear war, there will be economic consequences that I will discuss separately. But for this report here, I have damage reports, or that is, strike reports, where Iran has apparently successfully struck targets, such as U.S. military bases, in 8 different Arab countries, plus Israel. So Iran has struck targets in Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Jordan, Oman, and Qatar. And extensive damage has been carried out. Radar systems have been destroyed. I'm going to go through some of this here just to set the tone for the discussion that will follow. But let's talk about strategic installations that have been hit, and specifically radar, because, been a lot of hits, destruction of certain radar installations. I forgot to mention, of course, it is now confirmed that the religious leader of Iran, the Ayatollah Khamenei, I believe that's how you say his name, has been killed. And it's also very clear that he knew he was going to be killed. He refused to go into the bunkers. He essentially sacrificed himself. He was, I think, 81 years old. He knew he wouldn't have long to live anyway. And it looks like he was very much aware that his death would actually strengthen the resolve of the Iranian people. That appears to be exactly what has happened. So any hopes by Trump or Netanyahu that assassinating the Ayatollah would just magically cause Iran to fall, for the government to be toppled, and for people to rise up and take over in the streets, that hope has been completely dashed at this point. If anything, Iran is responding with even more vigor and more determination than ever before. So along with those responses, they have destroyed the radar dome at, let's see, the NSA facility in Bahrain, Jafar. Let's see. It's not clear what that was. It might have been the AN/FPS-132, but there was another one of those that was completely destroyed in Al Udeid, Qatar. That's a U.S. military base there. There's another radar system at Taji base in Iraq that has been significantly damaged. And then another radar system at Imam Ali base in Iraq, also a U.S. base there, that has been significantly damaged. One of these, I believe it's the FPS-132, was rumored to be worth $1.1 billion, and it was completely destroyed by Iran. So take note of this, because we're going to analyze Iran's choice of targets, because they paint a picture that's really important to recognize. Now, I do want to say also that Iran, of course, has been taking a tremendous amount of damage at the same time. So reportedly, almost all of Iran's so-called navy, which really wasn't much of a navy, has been destroyed. I think that was a grand total of 6 ships or something like that. I mean, Iran doesn't pretend to have a navy, okay? They have submarines, they have sea drones, but primarily they have missiles and drones that are land-launched. That's their main weapon system, not a navy, okay? They're not going to stand up against the U.S. Navy, not by any means. So destroying the Iranian navy is almost meaningless in the greater context of this, but Iran is taking, of course, a significant amount of damage on the ground, as we predicted, because the U.S. can drop bombs and launch missiles, and, you know, they've got Tomahawks and everything. The thing is, the U.S. doesn't have an unlimited supply of those things, and the U.S. will run out. But, and in fact, it won't take long for the U.S. to run out. But let's just go through this list here that I compiled with the help of my AI research agents. Israel, of course, has taken a lot of hits, and we probably don't even know the full extent of this. There have been hits in northern Israel, been hits in Haifa, the port. There have been hits in Beit Shemesh. 9 people were killed when a missile struck a residential neighborhood 19 miles west of Jerusalem. It struck a public bomb shelter. Sometimes bomb shelters are used as, intelligence locations as well, so who knows. By the way, I always denounce civilian deaths in these conflicts. I don't want to see civilians, whether they're Iranian or Israeli or American, I don't want to see any civilians caught up in any of this. Another strike hit the Tel Naf Air Base. And let's see, reportedly, again, Tel Aviv. 40 buildings in Tel Aviv have sustained damage from various missile strikes. At least 121 people were injured and 2 women were killed on Saturday. By the time you hear this, by the way, this information is at least, I would say, 24 hours old. So probably a lot more has happened since then. The bigger attacks were on the U.S. 5th Fleet headquarters of Al-Jufar in Bahrain. And the headquarters is burning. It looks like it's completely on fire. The radar dome looks completely destroyed. Heavy smoke. I mean, again, the fog of war teaches us that we don't really get honest reports from either side of the combat. But there are videos that have been released, and there are some satellite images that have been released that appear to show the 5th Fleet headquarters is significantly damaged. I wouldn't say totally destroyed, but significantly damaged. In addition, there have been strikes on the Bahrain International Airport. And, of course, airports across the entire region, including Dubai, are closed down for this very reason. So hundreds of thousands of travelers have been stranded across these Gulf states, specifically. The Hira Tower, which is a civilian building, but I believe it's that tower is known to be a meeting place for certain high-level people involved in, like, funding, the anti-Iranian terror groups and things like that. At least that's what I read about it. That's been bombed. 45 missiles and 9 drones have hit Bahrain, reportedly. Again, that's 24 hours old by the time you hear this. Qatar has also received a lot of hits from Iran. The Al Udeid Air Base, lots of explosions. The early warning radar that I mentioned earlier, the Doha civilian areas apparently have been struck. Qatar was targeted by a total of 44 missiles and 8 drones on Saturday alone, and that doesn't count Sunday. The UAE has been struck by numerous missiles, 165 ballistic missiles, 2 cruise missiles, and 541 drones were fired at the country. Air bases were hit. The Abu Dhabi airport was hit. The Dubai International Airport was hit. What else? The Al-Dafra Air Base apparently was hit. Some luxury hotels, some high-rise apartments that Iran says were hosting U.S. soldiers. And so they actually destroyed. I saw a video of this explosion, a very big explosion of a high-rise of one of the floors near the top. It looked like a rerun of the movie Die Hard, basically. It's like when the roof went up in a giant explosion. It looked something like that. It was really quite significant. Kuwait, the Ali al-Salem Air Base has been hit, and various other U.S. bases. The Kuwait International Airport also has been hit by a drone. Let's see, in Saudi Arabia, the Prince Sultan Air Base, the Tabuk base, and other things. Oh my goodness. In Jordan, there was one air base there that was named as a target by the IRGC. The Jordanian Armed Forces said they intercepted 49 drones and ballistic missiles, so they say that they stopped everything there. In Iraq, let's see, the U.S. air base near Erbil, I don't know how to pronounce all these names, the Taji military base, the Victory base complex, the Imam Ali base was hit by drones, apparently. In Oman, a couple of drones hit one of the ports there. And then, let's see, there's a radar systems, I already mentioned that. Okay, so that's kind of an overview of what's happening. Now, in addition to that, there are also unconfirmed rumors of some U.S. Supply ships. I don't know if they're still called oilers or what they're called, but supply ships being targeted, one of them apparently showing a lot of smoke. Again, it's very hard to know what's true and what's not true right now in the fog of war. We know we can't trust the White House. We also know that the Iranian leadership will often engage in subterfuge. For example, even after the Ayatollah was killed for many hours, they claimed he was alive and well. But then later on, they admitted, oh, well, no, he's actually dead. Okay. Well, I don't wish for anybody to die. And by the way, assassinating the Ayatollah is kind of like killing the Pope, you know? He's a significant religious leader, and that is obviously a wildly illegal act of international war and political assassination carried out by Israel and the United States. You know, the U.S. clearly provided targeting intelligence to assassinate a significant religious leader. And I condemn that no matter who it is. Okay, we'll get into that later. But back to the targets that have been selected here. I want you to notice the pattern. Okay, the pattern here. So unlike the so-called 12-day war from last summer, during which the targets by Iran were primarily just Israel. And at that time, Iran, I think they only launched one missile at one U.S. base, and that was prearranged, clearly. That was, you know, hey, you punch us, we'll punch you, we both go home, we'll de-escalate, and then we'll call it a victory. That's what happened last summer. What's happening now is completely different. So now, just as Iran promised, every U.S. base, military base, 5th Fleet headquarters, etc., in the area is considered a fair game target by Iran. And Iran is hammering all of them. Now, Iran warned all the Arab states about this. Iran said, look, if you're hosting the enemy, so to speak, you know, the American bases in your countries, then you are consorting with the enemy, and we will strike those bases in your countries, no matter who you are. Now, notably, the oil fields in Saudi Arabia have not yet been targeted by Iran. If that were to happen, of course, that would be catastrophic for lots of reasons. It's bad enough that the Strait of Hormuz has now apparently been completely closed down by Iran. But if oil fields start going up in flames, then world energy prices would just absolutely skyrocket. Probably you're going to see oil go up significantly today, by the way, and most likely gold as well. But that's a different subject. I want to get back to the pattern of what Iran is doing. So notice that Iran's choice of targets, specifically the radar targets, are designed to blind the United States. One of those radar installations had, I think, a 5,000-kilometer radius, and it was basically the eyes of America to spot anything that was launched, you know, from 5,000 kilometers away. That's been destroyed, so America, or the U.S. military, is now blind in the region. In addition, the bases, many U.S. military bases, have had to be evacuated because of the attacks. Some of them were evacuated before the attacks, and others are no doubt in the process of being evacuated or rendered unusable. There are reportedly 3 U.S. soldiers that have been killed, something like, 9 wounded. Maybe that number is not right. It's a single-digit number. But those numbers seem ridiculously small, by the way, given the number of strikes that we are seeing. Now, Iran says that over 500 U.S. service members have been killed or wounded in these attacks. Probably that's an exaggeration. But also probably to say only 3 is a lie. So the reality is almost certainly somewhere in between those numbers. Does that mean 200, 300? Who knows? We won't know for maybe for a long time to come. But clearly U.S. soldiers are taking casualties at this point, and that's likely to continue. So what Iran is actually doing here is, number one, blinding America, blinding the military, and rendering the military bases more and more inoperable, so that the personnel either aren't there or their facilities just don't function. Now, if you think about it, what is this a setup for? What would logically the next step be for Iran? And the answer is very clear. In fact, it's almost shockingly clear that when Iran was using these low-speed drones to take out radar installations, I was shocked. I saw some of the videos, and I was really surprised. And it turns out that Iran has been so far firing off really its most basic low-cost weapons, and it hasn't yet resorted to its high-cost missiles. What Iran did is it used its low-cost weapons in order to destroy the radar facilities and to render the U.S. military blind, so that when Iran does launch its much more expensive hypersonic missiles, some of which have been launched, but ballistic missiles as well, when these start to get launched, the U.S. will have no ability to see them coming, which means that the U.S. forces and Israeli forces will have to rely on local radar systems that have a much smaller range than 5,000 kilometers. They may only have a range of, let's say, 500 kilometers. And as a result, the amount of time, warning time that you have to prepare for an incoming missile strike becomes very, very short when you don't have radar that can reach out 5,000 kilometers. Obviously, we can do the math on this. It just depends on the speed of the missile. But if some of these missiles are traveling at, let's say, Mach 5 or something, which Iran has missiles capable of Mach 5 or even greater speeds, then clearly the reaction time that you get, or the time before it strikes, could be very, very short, depending on how far out it's detected. But let's say if it's detected at 500 kilometers and it's traveling at Mach 5, again, we could do the math, but it's not more than a few minutes, probably, of warning that you get. You know, it's not going to be like a 45-minute warning. No, you're going to get a couple of minutes or whatever it works out to be. And thus, it causes panic. It causes the soldiers in the bases, or it causes people in Israel to be caught off guard. Even for the sailors on the U.S. naval vessels to be more and more caught off guard. They don't have the early warning anymore. They have the more local radar systems that, yeah, those still work, sure. They can still see incoming missiles, but you don't have as much reaction time. So the upshot of this is that it's very clear that what happened over the weekend was just Iran's first stage, sort of setting the stage for what is going to come after. And that Iran has been holding back its more capable missiles, waiting for the radar to be destroyed and waiting for the U.S. military bases to be disrupted. And also, you know, waiting for Israel to be disrupted and to be in shocked from all the strikes that are coming in. That means that Iran is at some point here going to transition into a far worse barrage of missiles that will do tremendous amount of damage, even as Iran itself takes a lot of damage at the same time. Remember, a lot of these missiles are launched from caves, essentially. I mean, underground bunker facilities that are almost impossible to destroy without using nuclear weapons or bunker busters. But you notice that so far the U.S. has not flown B-2 stealth bombers over this area. Why? Probably because China gave Iran anti-stealth radar systems that can track those stealth aircraft, and Iran also has the Chinese-made surface-to-air missiles that can destroy stealth aircraft. So the United States is relying mostly on missiles and Tomahawks, you know, cruise missiles and other types of missiles. And Israel is relying on, you know, aircraft-launched munitions in some cases, bombs, or missiles that launch from aircraft, in order to achieve destruction of Iran. The thing is, even if you destroy every building on the surface of Iran, which is impossible because it's such a huge country, you still haven't taken out the bunkers and the place, all the different places from which the more powerful missiles are about to be launched, which means that the U.S. Navy is going to be targeted. It means that U.S. military bases are going to be hit by another wave, almost certainly, of more powerful missiles with greater precision. And then on top of that, Israel is going to be hit with much more powerful missiles, possibly hypersonic missiles or ballistic missiles. On top of all of this, China has publicly published detailed satellite imagery with identifications of all the military bases in the entire region, including Israel, and what aircraft are parked on the tarmac of each of those bases. So, also China has released images of U.S. naval vessels, and etc. So Iran now has targeting information courtesy of China, and China is clearly publicly stating that, hey, we're going to give intel to Iran, since, you know, the U.S. gave intel to Ukraine and to Israel. So China's like, well, we'll give intel to Iran and let Iran have a better precision on hitting targets. So that's what's coming next. And you and I should be ready for this. We should be prepared for this to be an extended war, not just 12 days and certainly not one weekend. This could go on for many weeks, even months, actually. Because at this point, I think Iran has realized there's no point in negotiating with the West. Every time you try to negotiate, they kill your people in the middle of the negotiations, even if you've made progress during the negotiations. So there's really no point negotiating with America or Israel. And the United States doesn't look at negotiations as legit anyway. It's just a ploy, a tactic to catch you off guard and to make you think that there might be peace and hope that you let your guard down. So that's where we are right now. I want to encourage you to do your research on this, stay well informed, and be very skeptical of everything out there. The videos, you know, deep fakes abound, claims. Just be very skeptical, as I am. Even the information I've given you here about the specific targets, some of that may change. Some of that may be updated, because I'm just going on the best information I have right now. But it's fog of war. So we don't know for sure what the situation is. We can only really look at the broad strokes here. And the broad strokes are clear. Iran is setting the stage for a much more powerful second wave of much more powerful missiles. So we should be prepared for that. In other words, we should be prepared for a lot more damage in Israel, a much higher count of U.S. casualties, and potentially the damaging of U.S. naval vessels, even potentially the destruction of one or more smaller vessels. So we'll see where that goes. I will do my best to keep you posted. You can continue to follow my work on this at brightvideos.com. And my articles will be at naturalnews.com. Thank you for listening.
Biostructured silver gel deserves a spot in your emergency bug out bag. It's made with 3 types of silver, 7 powerful essential oils, and lab tested for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology. Get yours at healthrangerstore.com.